From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world, so keep it tuned right here. Boy, have I been looking forward to this hour with our special guest, and I've known her for about 10 years now, and I've mentioned this already. She and I first met on the infamous Discovery Channel's X-Ops project, which is locked away deep in some mysterious vault near Washington, D.C. And if you want to know more about that, well, I discussed it at length with her on her show recently, so we'll tell you how you can go and listen to that. Heidi Hollis is a truth seeker of the unknown. Now, she is the world's foremost expert on shadow people and the Hat Man phenomenon. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. We're going to explain it. She actually gave them both their descriptive names in her book, The Secret War, A True Story About a Real Alien War and Shadow People. Her new book is called The Hat Man, The True Story of Evil Encounters, and it was just released May 13th of 2014. Some of her other acclaimed books are so surprising, I'm going to just hold back and tell you about it later on because I think you will find it quite amazing to see the scope of her research. Her website is HeidiHollis.com. That's H-O-L-L-I-S, HeidiHollis.com. Heidi Hollis, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
I'm having such a blast here, Josh. You should be here. I mean, like, you're across the ocean.
Well, yeah. You're in Chicago, right, Heidi?
Yes,
okay,
I am.
So you're in Chicago. I'm way out here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. Our producer, Sam, is in Asheville, North Carolina. The miracle of technology brings us all together in one virtual room. And, you know, Heidi, gosh. When I was on your show recently, we tried to capture the essence of all the things that you and I have experienced together, going back to that strange X-Ops experience. I don't want to rehash that now because we did such a good job of talking about it on your show. So just tell everybody right off the bat, how can they hear the interview that you gave me on your program recently?
Well, actually, the easiest and fastest way is to go to my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com, and just click on the radio link. Or you could also go to InceptionRadioNetwork.com and go to the archives, and you'll find me there and your show. It was awesome. I think we had fun chatting it up.
It flew right by. It was an hour and a half, and it just zoomed right by. So now, here's the thing that most people find, I believe, surprising when they meet you, Heidi. You are the most warm, down-to-earth, rational, logical person. I mean, you are fun to hang out with. You can talk about any subject. And when suddenly you reveal that you have encountered these beings face-to-face, it's shocking. But people also are able to understand that if you're going to believe it from anybody, it's got to be Heidi Hollis. Now, let's just start with what most people call quote-unquote aliens. You have seen these things face-to-face. Tell us about that.
Indeed. Yeah, you know, it is so strange to me. I guess, you know, people are comfortable when I talk about this stuff because I don't throw a whole lot of hype into it. I don't have to have a flashlight underneath my chin and talk in a spooky voice, you know, to try to get the point across. I just, you know, I think that, you know, we're humanly flawed, and I like to present these topics as flawed as possible with a lot of humor involved because I think that's how you make the most progress in anything out there. So I really like to take these things head on and just be who I am. But when it comes to the alien phenomenon, wow, you know, I was really kind of surprised myself when I first came across seeing these little guys. To kind of go over what took place, I lived alone. I was a college student, and I, in the middle of the night, woke up. I thought someone had broken into my apartment, and, you know, being a single gal, and, like, I'm on the first floor, too, mind you. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Somebody's in my living room. I hear things being gone through, and my phone's not near me, and I just jump up. And it's just that fight or flight type of reaction. Like, do I just run to the living room and pass who's ever in there? I got up. My door was already wide open, so there was no hiding. Got up, looked into my living room, you know, ready to make a mad dash, and was stunned to see something the size of a small child standing in my living room. And, I mean, there were two of them, and their backs were turned towards me, and they were going through my bookshelf. And I just remember my jaw being agape and, like, my mouth, what on earth? You know, the little kids broke into my place. I'm like, I walked up to them. They kind of spun around and looked up at me with their mouths open as mine was. And it was one of those moments that, you know, I was kind of numb to what was going on. So it wasn't shock. It wasn't fear. It was just, is this really happening? And these little guys looked up at me and they had my stuff in their hands. And I'm like, who are you guys? What are you doing here? And they're not answering me. So I grabbed my stuff out of their hands, and I'm like, give me that. Put that down. You know, I felt like I was scolding little kids. I didn't know what the heck they were doing there. And there goes my first encounter with these guys. I mean, it kind of extended into other parts of my apartment because I heard other sounds, and I'm walking around like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? Two more in my walk-in closet. There's two more in my kitchen. And lo and behold, Josh, my bathroom door was closed and the light was on. I'm like, oh, this is not happening. there were two more in there as well. And it was quite an interesting evening, to say the least. And when I got those little guys essentially out of my apartment, it was practically the next day I started seeing these black shadowy masses in my apartment. So there enters the shadow people.
Well, now, you know, you just sound so kind of like nonchalant, and you're laughing when you talk about these experiences. I mean, if I saw an alien in my house, this would be such an earth-shattering, mind-boggling, like crazy, distorting experience that I don't think that I could – talk about it as easily as you do. Now, granted, this was years ago, and you've told this story over and over, so that changes things. But, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, what you're talking about is absolutely profound. How can you tell this story and sort of laugh about it and as if it didn't frighten the heck out of you?
You know, I think it helps that I grew up in a highly haunted house. It kind of numbs the senses to horrible things. I mean, at the moment, I don't even know what to say when it comes to, you know, having the gumption to be able to stand on wobbly knees and hold my own, because I actually picked up one of them and kind of choked it. But it's just...
Okay, hang on a second. Let's talk more about that. Please explain.
It's, you know, it's hilarious to me now because, you know, I feel bad about it. I really do. And I felt bad about it when I did it. But, I mean, I'd ask each of these little guys, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? None of them would respond to me. They just turned around. And these were the little grays, by the way. They had the big black eyes and slits for nostrils, a slit for a mouth. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they don't show expression. Oh, yes, they did. They had their mouths formed an O, like, oh, crap, she's up. What are we going to do? And I flung the bathroom door open. And, there's two more in there, and I didn't realize there was one behind the door. So when I flung the bathroom door open, I accidentally knocked one down. And the second one was grabbing something off the back of my toilet. And, you know, all the rest of them, they didn't have any clothing on. But this little guy had, like, a jumpsuit of some sort. And, I'm asking, okay, and I, you know, of course, my heart is racing. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking I'm about to die. Somebody's in my apartment, and there's these little stinkers running around. I'm like, come on now, really? And then to, you know, have none of them answering me why they're there, why are they going through my stuff. And so I grabbed that one by its little suspenders, and I picked it up. And I said, who are you and what are you doing here? And I'm shaking it with every word. I have no children. I've never abused kids or anything. But I just, you know, I was just so frustrated. I'm like, who are these things? You know, what are they doing here? And the one that had fallen to the floor put its little arms up as if, you know, it was afraid I was going to step on it or something. And it, and I heard it say, I'm your nephew. I'm your nephew. And I'm like, I look down. And I watch this thing literally shapeshift into my nephew in his baby blue suit and an afro. My nephew was practically the same age as I was, and he looked like him. And I told him, I said, you look like him. I said, you're not my nephew. You look like him when he was 10 years old. He's 20-something now. And I'm like, what are you guys trying to pull here? And the one in my hands that I was rattling, I looked at this thing really good. And it was really close to my face, and I had not noticed that this thing did not look like the others. This one had flesh-colored skin, freckles, curly tuft of hair on top of its head, a big bulbous head, though, mind you, and big human eyes, blue eyes. And this thing started shaking so violently as if it was short-circuiting. It was absolutely terrified of me. And I felt like I had just terrorized a child. And I put it back down, and I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not going to hurt you. Just relax. Just relax. I don't know what you guys are doing here. Just trying to get some answers. And I literally offered this thing a cookie. I did. I did, Josh. I offered it a cookie. I was going to go get it to go and come this little guy down, and that's when I saw the others from my apartment had essentially formed at the doorway as if to do a Vulcan mind meld on me or something to take me down. Like, it's going to take all of us guys because she's out of control. I don't know. But, yeah, it was this very, very strange experience. I had no other experience like it to compare to, and I had joined, this is the interesting part, I joined a UFO, an alien abductee support group because I had seen some very large UFOs. So you could join this group if you saw some UFOs and if you suspected you were abducted by aliens. I had no suspicions of being abducted. I know those guys that showed up did not abduct me, but I felt almost as if by association that they came to take a look at who's this lady that's joined this this group or something, because I had no understanding of why they would come look my way otherwise. But I was even more intrigued to, you know, like, I, you know, if I get these little guys out and only to be met with a big, black, hulking, shadowy presence in my apartment.
All right.
And I was just baffled.
That's a good place to stop. We're going to take our first break this hour. When we come back, we'll find out, what are these shadow people? I'm talking with Heidi Hollis. This is Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
The way
Welcome back to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money. You can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Again, that's 828-298-5402. And this hour, we are talking with Heidi Hollis. Now, you've probably heard the term shadow people. You've probably heard the term the Hat Man, but you might not know where they came from. Well, chances are, when you heard about them, they originated with the terminology of Miss Heidi Hollis. And before the break, Heidi, you were talking about these shadowy beings that began to appear in your house after your initial encounters with the alien Greys. What are the shadow people?
Yeah, that is a good question, because I think the jury is still kind of out to know exactly what they are. But for myself, I describe them as being a dark mass that can essentially take on any form, anything from what I call the head and shoulder shadow, which looks like something of a man with its head directly connected to its shoulders. I know some guys like that. and they're rather tall. Those types are rather tall. They're usually 6 feet and up. And then there's also shadow clouds, shadow spiders, which I believe I've seen the most of out of all of them. And shadow rodents is also another one that some people have reported, and George Norrie was actually the first to tell me about those. I hadn't gotten many reports of them, but now I have. So they're essentially the sense that I first got from them when I experienced them were being very observant, very nosy, very watchful, and I really didn't know what I was dealing with. And I had dealt with something similar a few years earlier, but it wasn't something that I was having attached to myself. It was something that I saw following a friend of mine. And just to kind of go over what happened with that, this is really bizarre. Broad daylight, was staying at my friend's house down in Iowa, and we walked from her house to her uncle's house, and along the way saw this black thing jumping from a bush to a tree. And I'm like, what did I just see? And at first it was in my peripheral vision, and we continue to walk along, and I didn't say anything. She's kind of walking ahead of me, and I'm watching this thing. I turn and I see it head on jump from tree to tree and just kind of meander along as we went our way. When we came back, this thing did the same thing. It followed the whole way. And by that time when we reached her house, I was just beside myself, and I'm like, I've got to tell her what I just saw, because I can't believe what I just experienced. And I told her, I said, I don't know what I just saw, but I saw this thing. And I grabbed a piece of paper and I drew what I call the head and shoulder shadow, which you can see on my website, HeidiHollis.com. And I draw this thing, and I'm thinking my friend's going to be like, oh my gosh, she's nuts. What's going on here? She takes a look at it, and I am stunned to hear her say, oh, that guy. Yeah, I don't know what he is. He's been following me for years. Hey, Dad, take a look. Heidi saw him, too. And he's like, oh, is he back around? The dad says. I'm like, what? You know, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I'm like, I'm thinking I'm nuts for having seen this thing. And shortly thereafter, I had to go upstairs to the room that I was staying in on the second floor, which was like an attic. And my room was through this dark room. And then my room is at the end of this, the other side of the house. So I go upstairs, didn't have to turn the lights on because it was daylight out still, and there were these very low windows still open. And I went and grabbed what I needed to, turned around, and that thing was there, hulking over me. It had to be 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall. I don't know. It was huge, totally leaning over me, red eyes aglow, and I don't even know how to describe that kind of fear, because my body could feel that it wanted to rip my throat out, that it was angry somehow because I don't know, because I saw it, because I spoke of it. I had no idea, but something in me told me, don't run or it's going to get you. don't swing at this thing or it's going to get you. It was blocking my way out of the room. So I truly just kind of, you know, took a deep breath and said prayers in my head and just took one step in front of the other and just kind of closed my eyes, and I walked through the darn thing. And I could feel it breathing behind me, just hulking over me still the whole way. Got to the top of the stairs, and I mean, my legs were just jello. I mean, I just practically collapsed down those stairs, and my friend heard me fumbling, opens up the door, and I'm at the bottom of the stairs. He's like, what's going on? And I could barely speak. I was just so terrified. I'm like, it's upstairs. And she's like, come on, you know, and picks me up and closes the door. And it was so terrifying, and it was threatening. It was absolutely threatening. So when I saw this thing, these things coming into my apartment soon after seeing this group of like 8 or 9 grays in my apartment, and I see these shadowy things again, I had no idea what I was dealing with. I'm like, why this? Why now? You know, what's going on here? And whenever I would describe to people what it was I was seeing, I was tired of, you know, rehashing, well, the shadowy mass and da-da-da. So I just started saying shadow people, even though they took on different forms. So people knew what I was talking about. And that's essentially how my story began into discovering this phenomenon that I truly, truly had no idea how far stretched the phenomenon had gone by the time I came forward and spoke about them and wrote it in my first book, The Secret War.
So, I mean, do you feel like that maybe you have seen such extreme stuff that it kind of blew certain parts of your mind, that the synapses are firing off differently? Because, I mean, yeah, most people would either not want to talk about this or just be horrified. But you are able to really talk about this in, like, gleeful detail. Is that because you're becoming maniacally insane because you've seen such extreme stuff? Because it makes you wonder, like, what happens to people if they see stuff this extreme?
Yeah. You know, I have an absolutely overactive sense of humor, I think you can tell. I was a cartoonist, for crying out loud, comic strip artist, and so humor is my best friend. I always liked kind of doing something similar along the lines of like stand-up comedy even. So I've always sought humor as a way of dealing with things. And for me, you know, I found that, you know, I know how to clear a room when I want to. I know how to say the scariest story to just make you not want to sleep for days. But then you learn nothing. But if I speak as I am, keep my sense of humor about, you know, these things, and treat it like I would any other topic, I mean, it's taken so much more in a way that, you know, she's just like me, for crying out loud. She's not nuts. You know, it's like, you know, you have to learn to, you know, take it as you would any other thing. I mean, even like I've had tragic health issues come my way, and I laugh about it, and people are like, really? I'm like, look, I'm still standing here. We all have something, don't we? You know, and it's you just have to learn to roll with it, and you know, and I think people appreciate it to a point where people feel more comfortable in talking to me about their personal experiences, and know that who am I to point a finger at them and tell them that they're nuts? I've experienced some of the crazier things that, you know, can be lumped on a person. And I've had people say, oh, well, Heidi, you're a medium. I'm like, nah, I'm too ordinary to be a medium. I just think, you know, odd things. Artists, I think, pay attention more to reality when it shifts, because I think that it's just something that we're more drawn to pay attention for some reason. Because I've met a lot of artists that are just like, yep, seen that too. Yep, experienced that. And, you know, I think not dwelling and holding your position is detrimental. And actually, I encourage people. I take a lot of emails from around the world of people who have experienced anything out of the ordinary, because Lord knows I've experienced it. So I try to share the approach that I personally use to try to, you know, understand and feel out what's going on. And
okay, well, we got to stop right here, Holly. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this and also the Hat Man. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. And we're talking this hour with Miss Heidi Hollis. Her website is HeidiHollis.com, and you'll find a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com. So, Heidi, what is the Hat Man?
The Hat Man, he is a phenomenon that I had, I guess you could say, categorized as being a shadow person by mistake. I had not seen him personally. My college roommate had seen him, and from the description and what she told me, I assumed wrong, and she kind of assumed wrong too of what exactly he was. And what the Hat Man is, essentially, it's a phenomenon of this man that will appear in a trench coat, black trench coat, a fedora type hat or a gaucho hat or even a top hat. Sometimes he's seen as being quite pale, clean-shaven. Other times he has a goatee. If you see his eyes, they're solid black or they're glowing red. And he often is just standing there with his hands in his pockets. Some people describe him wearing a cape as well. And his feeling, though, this is really, really odd. What I did is I put a bunch of drawings and depictions of different shadow people, different shapes that they came in, and I put his image up on my website and called him the Hat Man Shadow. And I started almost immediately getting emails from people describing this man and what he would do and how he would appear. And right away I saw the pattern was much different than I had suspected of him being a shadow person. And I was really reluctant to look any further about what he really was, because people were essentially leading to the fact, and they would ask me this question, who is he? And then almost in the next sentence, he's the devil, isn't he? And it was absolutely gut-wrenching stories that I was getting about him showing up around illness, death, accidents, anything and everything. It was anything that was negative, there he was, smiling, tipping his hat, letting people know he was there for no good, and absolutely taunting them. Not even always speaking, just his menacing presence lets people know that he's there, and he's there to essentially look at the dark spots within you and the dark spots that's going on in your life.
Now, you know, when I was introducing you, Heidi, I said, we're going to hold back as a bit of a surprise on part of your biography, because here you are, a person that I know personally. I've been in the field with you. I've investigated with you. We've done TV projects together. You seem very rational, logical. You've encountered aliens. You've encountered shadow people. And this is the twist that will surprise a lot of folks. One of your most acclaimed books is called Jesus is No Joke, a true story of an unlikely witness who saw Jesus and picture prayers. What happened? You saw Jesus, Heidi?
I did. And it's like, I really don't care how it comes off to people. It's like, because I know what I know. I was a huge skeptic of people who claimed to have seen Jesus from everything, from a tree trunk to their bowl of soup. And I thought it was ridiculous. I'm like, come on now. I felt like I had a target painted on my back that said, you know, anything weird out there, come and show yourself to me, you know. I mean, I honestly felt at the point that I was writing my book, The Secret War, the first book written on shadow people, that I put in that book, if Jesus were around, I would have seen him by now. I would have felt that confident that, you know, hey, you know, this is just ridiculous. I mean, I've seen aliens, I've seen ghosts, I've seen UFOs, and I just couldn't understand what people were relating. I mean, I was raised in the church and I had my faith in God, but this Jesus guy, I just didn't see the point of really needing to get to know who he was truly and fully. So just before I put out my book, The Secret War, with my essentially bashing him showing up to people around the world, I had my first encounter with him, changed my whole tune, changed my life, and I think it changed how I presented myself when it came to the paranormal, because I had such a comfort in knowing I had him on my side. And little did people know, here's this chick coming forward talking about shadow people, when all along I would not have been able to even take the first step in speaking about shadow people had he not shown up and told me not to worry what people think. Know that I'll be there to give you the words. That's what he told me. And every time I go on do a show, every time I do a lecture or anything like that, I look to the heavens and I say, you promised me you'd give me the words and I'm holding you to it. Because, I mean, I had an absolute, I can't even say, crazy fear of public speaking. Absolute. I gave up grades in college to not have to do a presentation. And I took one of the hardest courses that you can imagine behind becoming a doctor. I'm a therapist now, but oh my goodness. Just, I mean, he's been my rock. And, you know, it is what it is. And I think it's helped me to realize that everything comes full circle. Your faith is something that people should never leave behind, never let it lag, because it's everything is related, and it's helped me to realize that.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but, you know, we've got about 4 minutes before our break. Tell us exactly in detail what that encounter was like.
Oh, gosh, I've had several now. I had four that I wrote of in that book. The first encounter was something of a vision. It had to. I mean, that's all I can explain it as. I came home from work. I was a college student. I worked 5 in the morning till 11 o'clock, and I usually come home and take a nap. And I told my college roommate, please turn your TV down. I'm going to take a nap right now. And I went into my bedroom. I went to go lay down on my bed. And it just the most as dramatic as you can imagine, I go to lay down in the bed, and I thought I fell out of the bed or fell through the bed. I had no idea what took place. And it was with a thud and me going, what the, you know, looking around. I'm like, oh, where am I type of thing. I'm like, I felt like I just came through a portal of some sort. And I'm looking around, and I'm near my parents' home. And I'm like, well, how did I get here? You know, I was trying to put in my head and trying to reason it out. And I'm like, I was going to meet up with a family friend here named Quincy. Perhaps that's why I'm here. And I look and I see this man coming closer to me from a distance. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's Quincy. Yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, I'm telling myself. And it didn't take long. And I get goosebumps every time I think about it. It didn't take long. He takes a couple steps, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I put my face in my hands. And I'm like, and he comes right up to me, and I'm looking down, and I don't even know what to think or say. And he says, hello, almost as if he's going to say, how's the weather in the next sentence? And I'm like, hello, you know, I'm still my silly self with my face in my hands. And he says, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was, you would not hesitate to say it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, he's calling my bluff. And I pull my hands away from my face, and I'm looking up at him, and I go, you're Jesus. Now, I do not speak Spanish. and as I looked up at him, he said, yes, I am. And, I mean, the whole shebang. I saw flowing white robes. I saw the long shoulder-length hair. I saw bright light coming from behind his head that shadowed his face. And I was absolutely in awe of him and his presence. And he began telling me about his life and what he aimed to do and how so much more needed to be done. And I'm still my silly self as I am now. And I'm like, what is going on here, Heidi? This is really happening. I'm looking around, and I'm like, I look to the ground, and I'm like, why is the ground so close to me? And I'm going to myself, I'm on my knees. I don't even remember going on my knees. And then I realize he's gotten quiet, and I look up like a school kid caught passing notes, and I look up at him, and like stuttering, of course. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do, you know? And he takes me by the hand, and I stand up, and he said, first, you need to show us some things. And I'm like, us? I'm like, oh, my goodness, he's talking about his dad. I'm like, this is just too much. And he said, you need to finish your book. Do not worry what others say. Know that I'll be there to give you the words. And I'm like, and then he started to tell me something that I knew I wouldn't be able to recall. It was almost as if I could see his lips moving, but a pane of glass went between us. And And I was like, you know, this is really happening, Heidi. This is solid. I'm here. This is going on. And he's telling me things. And I'm thinking to myself, ask him something. And I said, the strangest question. I said, what's my real name? And he said, he laughed lightly as he went to walk away and walk through this wall. And he said, I love you very much, Aaliyah. And, I mean, I cannot even tell you. I the love that flows from him. You know, a lot of people say, well, did you question the spirit and whatnot? Do you know it was him? And I'm like, look, I could have been blind and seen it was him because every cell in my body screamed his name. And I don't have any doubt about what it was that I experienced.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back here and finish up our interview with Heidi Hollis. And she's going to tell you a little bit about what they call, well, the other F word. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Shop 828-298-5402. Next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 hour, and well, that's the hour we reserve for late at night when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, more sordid and seedy, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So stick around for that if it seems to be your cup of tea. Right now, I'm wrapping up a conversation with Heidi Hollis. Now, remember, her website is HeidiHollis.com. If you're bad at spelling, well, just go to HEIDIHOLLIS, HeidiHollis.com, and you'll also find a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com. Now, Heidi, what is the other F word? And tell us about the book that you wrote about this subject.
Well, the other F word is faith. So there you have it. I just felt that, you know, there's so much doom and gloom, especially in the paranormal. Here I write on to the darkest phenomenon, the Hat Man and the Shadow People. And but then I wrote a book on Jesus and angel encounters with picture prayers. So I wanted to show people, you know, even if you have experienced something that's dark and out of the ordinary, that you can lift yourself up out of this. And I think a lot of the people that have written to me over the years, I mean, they started experiencing things when they were kids. So I wanted to reach the kids with my putting my comic cartooning skills together and put a book together called A Diary Blog of the Fickle Finders Investigates face the other F word. So essentially, it's kind of a Diary of a Wimpy Kid-esque type book, notebook lines and all, 238 pages, 180 comics. And it's funny, though, because who likes comic books the most are grown men, of course. I hear mostly from grown guys saying, love this, this is hilarious. And I'm like, great, I'm glad you got that. And just trying to get kids and people to look to their faith more. And actually, in about a month, I'm going to be releasing a grown-up version with also comics inside, just called The Other F Word, essentially talking on faith once again. So I think that it's so important, and I think it's sad how so many people, because they've experienced it as something odd, that they give up their faith. And even I did that. I'm like, oh, I could see a UFO clearer than I could see God. So obviously this is more powerful. So I think that's sad, and I think people shouldn't be ashamed to talk about what it is they've experienced and keep their faith. And actually, I have a website called ParanormalPledge.com, trying to encourage people to start speaking about their experiences, raise their right hand, take the pledge, say that they'll start talking about these things. So the paranormal doesn't seem so strange. It doesn't seem so awkward, because it's pretty darn common. I mean, Josh, you've been in this for a long time. I know that you've met everything from, you know, doctors to lawyers that have all experienced something odd. So time to take on a different step in a different direction, I think.
I love what you're doing, because what's funny is that those of us who are involved in the quote-unquote paranormal world are often viewed as outside the mainstream, and yet the mainstream is full of people who have spiritual beliefs. They just don't see it that way. I mean, the Bible, for example, is the most paranormal book that has ever been written, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the whole thing is based on the idea of a spiritual realm and miracles and people coming back from the dead and other
right.
dimensions. And you have all these people around us who think, well, you know, I am just a normal person. I go to church and I accept this book. But they look at people like you and me and say, well, we're out there in some separate category, and we're really not. I love the idea that we can connect all that and help people understand that it's part of the same picture. And you are just an integral player in all that. So, you know, Heidi, you and I right now, we are working on producing some potential projects together.
Yeah.
I'm extremely excited about them.
Me too.
And I think there are great possibilities. So I just want to commend you on not only, you know, being a person who can translate your experiences into something that has some posterity, but you do a great job communicating the context to everybody else. So, you know, this is just the beginning of a lot of, who knows, very strange and interesting and wonderful and entertaining things that we'll be presenting to the public soon. So thank you so much for having me on your program, and thank you for being on Speaking of Strange tonight.
Are you kidding me? This was a blast, and I cannot wait to work with you more. I think that what you do, I mean, you're my paranormal soulmate. I don't know if you know that, but I think that's what's going on here.
I agree entirely. There is an undeniable connection, my friends. And if you go to HeidiHollis.com, you can learn more about her. There you have it, Heidi Hollis. And remember now, if you go and you listen to the interview that she gave me on her show, you can hear about the experience we had together in Roswell and why that shaped the strange situation with the Discovery Channel. When we come back, it'll be time for the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Strange.